the reason why I became a STEM ambassador. I didn't want the world my boy grows up in to be the way it is now.
The face of engineering is changing and evolving, but who are the faces behind it, and more specifically, the women? Let us take you on a journey of an exciting career that celebrates success and embraces failure. I'm your host, Ganan Adamu, and together with The Common Room, we bring you The Face of Engineering. Today, I'm in conversation with Dr. Christina Pearson-Rampiari.
My name is Christina Pearson-Rampiari, so I am a senior flight systems engineer.
So Christina, it's so nice to speak to you, and I'm loving the talent of female engineers that I've had so far. So you've just topped my list.
Oh, I bet it's been amazing.
Oh, it's been brilliant. It's been absolutely brilliant. And I think I told every single one of them, if I had women like you come to my school when I was, you know, looking at careers, I definitely would have gone into engineering. Honestly, these are all really incredible. But I want to start.
It's really good to hear.
It honestly really is, because, you know, it's inspiring the next generation. So I want to find out from you, who inspired you to get into engineering, or what inspired you to get into engineering?
So I was inspired to go into engineering because I actually really enjoyed maths and the mechanical side of physics. I think it was because I really enjoyed solving problems. So I really enjoyed that, but I also enjoyed like creativity subjects as well. I liked art and subjects like that and design. So that's what really inspired me to go into engineering. And then when I was young, I went to an air show, the Dartmouth Regatta air show, and with my family. And when I saw the jets that were flying over and the sounds they were making, I was just in awe. I was like, you know what? That is the industry that I want to work in. And that's where it all started with aerospace. And that's why I chose to do a degree in aerospace engineering.
So can you remember what it was like, you know, going for the open days and, you know, speaking to the lecturers before you actually made concrete decision that, you know, this is what I'm going to do?
Yes. So I think I went to visit Bristol University, which I didn't actually go to in the end. It was, yeah, amazing. It was great to see all of the facilities and, you know, just, I think it was, I'd lived in Liverpool all my life before then, and just going to Bristol itself was like, wow. And then just looking around campus and things, it was quite kind of freeing a little bit.
Well, you know, when you went to, so when you finally obviously decided what university you were going to, was you the only woman of colour in that space, or was it a nice mix of up and coming engineers?
So there was two women on my course when I joined, and I was the only one of colour. So
it's crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. So did you ever feel like intimidated, or were you, you know, was there a nice feeling? Did you ever feel like you were the other or the only?
Well, the thing is, and that this is the thing that I personally found in engineering, and it may just be because of the type of work that I do, but I've always found that I've been part of a team. So even in university, I was part of a group and we revised together and we kind of taught each other modules that we were struggling with and held like revision sessions with each other, and we had group projects. So we had that team ethos. And then even in my job, I'm part of a team. We have a shared goal. So my opinion is valued. I don't feel like my opinion isn't valued at all because of my gender. I've never experienced that kind of bias.
I like that. I think that's one of the most important things, is having that sense of belonging, regardless if you are a woman or you have a disability, or being able to work in a team, and especially in engineering. I think that's really important, because it is about obviously going away and doing your own thing, you know, but you know you're part of a collective.
Exactly. You know, I'm part of a team, we're working together, we're supporting each other, and that's kind of my atmosphere at work.
So can you remember the first thing you designed that gave you that proud moment?
So my first job after university, I was involved in civil aviation. So my job was kind of designing interiors for different airlines, for example, like American Airlines, Air France, Etihad, Emirates, all those, all the interiors for the nice, like first business class areas that I don't usually see. So it was really nice because I got to be involved. I got to go to America. I got to go to France. I got to be at the design reviews with the customers. to show them like what we had developed for them. So that was really fun.
But did you fly business class so you could feel what it was like?
No, unfortunately I didn't. But it was great anyway, just to get to fly to, I think I went to Santa Maria. I got to spend like a day in Los Angeles for a day, and that was like really nice.
You're building this up now. I feel like I need to stop my career and just do a bit of a change.
But that was my first job role, and then since then I've moved on to work for BAE Systems. So I'm involved in BAE Systems is a big defense global company, and I'm involved with developing, as a flight systems engineer, I've been there for 6 years. I've been involved in developing equipment for different platforms or aircraft. So I'll be involved from the beginning, from when it's an idea, it's a concept, and then to design and build, and then to test, and then all the way to in service, obviously when that equipment isn't in use anymore, correct disposal. Okay. So that's kind of the whole life cycle of any product really, but the engineering life cycle that I work in.
Can you elaborate on that, the life cycle?
Yeah, so that life cycle is that from beginning to end in developing equipment, from that beginning point all the way to the end, and that's a part of my job. So I will be involved from the design, when it's an idea, working with different teams such as aerodynamicists, test engineers, structural engineers, working together to integrate equipment onto an aircraft, and then, you know, testing it, then putting it in service so it's on an aircraft with a customer, and then afterwards when it's no longer needed. So I'm involved in that whole life cycle, is what we call it.
So what does it take to get to the level that you're at right now?
I didn't do as well at school as I wanted to. So there's so many different ways in. I did my degree, my master's degree, which was 4 years, and then had another job in between before I actually started working in my current role, which I didn't know existed, this job role, until I started applying for jobs. But there are so many different ways. There's apprenticeships, graduate schemes.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because so many young people are very hard on themselves, and I've been doing so many talks, and I remember I graduated from my degree with a third class degree, and I always say to them, look where I am now. I've been in the industry for 15 years, and don't be hard on yourself. If you've got a passion, you will work to get to where it is that you're aiming for. Don't think that your grades define where you're going to go. And so I'm happy you said that, because a lot of young people and parents are so hard on themselves in terms of getting the right grades.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be discouraged. It's not the end of the world. You know, that there are different ways afterwards to get into different industries. So it's not the be all and end all. And I didn't get into Bristol Uni, so and I still managed to have the job that I have now.
Exactly. And that's the thing, isn't it? Now, one of the big things that I love about engineering and talking about engineering is, that celebration of failure. Because in the UK especially, we never celebrate failure. It's all about success,
yeah.
Success, success. And I think with engineering, what it allows you to do is to test and fail, test and fail. So
yep.
For you, would you say that has supported your growth and your development as a woman?
Definitely. I think as well, this is something that I only really started doing last year, was putting myself out there more, because I was scared to fail. It was only until I came back to work after maternity leave, I was like, you know what? I think I gained some confidence from just kind of winging being a first-time mum, and was like, I can do this. Yeah. So, I can put myself out there a bit more. And, if I fail, I'll just learn from it. And it might be that I don't want to do a certain thing again, but at least I'll know. Or it might be that, I don't do something as well as I could have and learn from that for next time. So that's when I started thinking, I'm going to do more. And I started doing a little bit, I became a STEM ambassador, started doing activities, and then started doing more. And then now I'm doing panels, virtual panels, and way more than I ever thought I could do. But I've only done that by starting to put myself out there a bit more and gradually getting there.
Well, this is it, because I loved your article in The Guardian. How did that come about?
So I think that was, on Twitter. I think I saw a request from a journalist to speak to women in engineering. And I thought, I don't think it's going to happen, but I'll just, introduce myself. And then it went from there, really.
And then you came on Radio Merseyside.
Yes.
And then I spotted you and I was like, she sounds amazing. We need to get it on.
And that's the thing. I found that since I've been doing more and more, it's led to more opportunities.
And you know what? And that's the key, isn't it? Because I've realized, you know, with COVID and lockdown, you know, it's actually a lot of other women have said similar things to what you've said. We've kind of said, what's the worst that can happen? All we need to do is put ourselves out there, put the energy out there, the positive energy. And if it doesn't go well, it doesn't go well. If it does, fantastic. And
exactly.
And look at us, look where we are now. You know, you talked about maternity. So, you know, let's move on to motherhood. Would you say that has hindered or empowered your career and vice versa?
I would definitely say empowered, which is probably not the norm, really. But definitely since I've come back from maternity leave, I've won awards, I've got a promotion, I've become a chartered engineer, I've started doing all of, you know, the extra stuff that I do, like panels and things. It's just been a whirlwind, really. I think it was last year I returned to work. Yeah, May 2019. And everything that's happened since has just been, a whirlwind.
It's crazy because I always say to you know, women who are, you know, are becoming mums, and I always say to them, your life will change in such a positive way. Because I know for me, when I was pregnant with my little one, I was nervous, I was scared. But I found when I had him, I started thinking more about what kind of world I want him to live in, what kind of legacy I want to leave behind, what type of example I want to be as a mum. And that's how I've made so much of my decisions now. And I can see where that's come for you as well. It's just these little things that just turn you into like this kind of demigod, and you're like, I need to protect you. I'm gonna make the world a better place.
And that's 100% the reason why I became a STEM ambassador. I didn't want the world my boy grows up in to be the way it is now. So I wanted to inspire more young girls and the next generation into engineering, and that was all because I became a mum and realised, I want to make a difference.
Do you think, more needs to be done for working mothers, especially in your field?
I'm lucky in that, so the company I work for, BAE Systems, I'm able to work flexibly. So I don't work the same amount of hours I used to because of childcare on a Friday. So I work 4 days a week, but it's really flexible. And I'm lucky that I've been able to do that. So I do think more flexibility and support would be great for women returning to STEM careers, because there is an issue with women not returning into STEM careers.
I mean, it's the same in media as well, because it's not, in some cases, or the majority of cases, it's not a 9-to-5. You know, sometimes you work in shifts that you don't want to work, but those are the only shifts that are available, so I totally get it.
Yeah.
And now, in terms of diversity, do you think more needs to be done in diversity in the industry?
I definitely do. I think a lot of companies are very aware now that they need diversity. Well, they need an inclusive environment, first of all, to have that diversity, which we all know brings about benefits that will benefit all companies, better innovation, quicker retaining more employees, attracting more employees. So we all know the advantages. So companies are trying to create that workplace now, which is really great.
And what, from your experience, what do you think they could do better?
It's really tough. I think it's a mix between what companies can do, especially in STEM, and it's a lot of what can be done with the younger generation, so in schools and in society as a general, because there is stereotypes and biases that children grow up with that put them off STEM subjects before they've even got to the point later of choosing careers. So there's a lot everyone can do, I think.
Yeah. What would be your dream design? Or is there something out there that you thought, oh, I wish I designed that?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think the project I'm working on now, which I'm really enjoying. So I'm working on the Future FastJet program currently. And I'm involved in developing technologies for equipment that's going to go on that. So I think in 10 years time-ish, I'll be able to say, I was involved in that. I think that in itself is going to be an amazing feeling, and I think it's a once in a lifetime opportunity that I have right now to be involved in that. So I think that in itself makes me really happy.
You know, the world of engineering, especially what part you're in, is quite similar to journalism, because there's so many things that are embargoed and you want to talk about them, you can't talk about them.
Yeah, I can't go into too much detail, but yeah, working on new technologies and putting them onto a future fast jet is just an amazing opportunity to be involved with.
Oh, that's amazing. And finally, what piece of advice would you have for, you know, any young woman, or especially young women of colour, who are looking at their future options in terms of career?
So I think like two main things that I can think of, and I always try and make this point when I'm asked this question: mentoring. Finding a mentor is really crucial, I think. I have experienced the benefits myself of having a mentor when I returned from work. I had a mentor and she really helped me, and you know, for guidance and support, it's really good to have a mentor and working on your kind of career goals. So that's one thing. And also networking, I think, is really important. It's really great, especially, you know, if you're feeling alone as a woman of color, or feeling, you know, like you're in the minority. It's really great to have a network of supportive women who've got your back and who you can talk to. I think that's really important.
So, Christina, apart from being a mother and being a STEM ambassador, what hobbies do you have?
So, when I'm not running after my little boy, so I have an Etsy shop that I run by myself, which takes up some time as well. I sell enamel pins or pin badges that highlight diversity in STEM careers.
Ah, that's amazing. When did you start that?
My first pin said, "This is what an engineer looks like," because whenever I have told people, the majority of the time, people say, "Oh, you don't look like an engineer," or "I wouldn't have thought you were an engineer." So it started with that. And then I got lots of requests, you know, scientist, pilot. I've got a new one that's coming out soon, mathematician, all these careers. And I keep getting messages. So it just kind of really took off in a way that I didn't expect. And I decided right from the start, because I wanted to give something back, that I would donate part of the proceeds from each pin to different charities. So it's been really great. I've raised over £1,000 now, which I didn't expect at all from starting this during the first lockdown. Yeah, incredible.
Oh, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So what's the business called?
It's called Aviate.
Aviate. How do you spell that?
A-V-I-A-T-E-H-E-R, all one word.
Aviate, I love it. You were listening to Christina, a woman from a young age who knew what she wanted to do. She demonstrated well how you can achieve your goals regardless of what gets in your way. Something we all need reminding of in early 2021. Now, on our final episode, and certainly not the least, we catch up with electrical engineer Dr. Nike Falayan on The Face of Engineering.